Heavenly Father, we just pray for Aloy as he shares your word today, Lord. We pray, Lord, above all, that as you speak through him, Lord, that we will open our hearts to hear from you, Lord. And we just pray you anoint these words and you anoint all that that we are doing for you in our lives. And I pray a special anointing upon Aloy and his life and blessings as he continues to move from victory to victory, to see you do one thing after another after another. And I thank you, Lord, because the power of prayer is evident in Aloy's life. People prayed for him, and things have moved. Darkness has been defeated, and righteousness is arising victorious in his life. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I was joking with Michelle last night. I said, I feel like we're going to have just a morning of just worship. And she's like, well, then you sing. So this morning I'm going to sing a special song. Nah, I'm just joking. I'm going to go ahead straight into the message. Title of my message is, Who is on Your Side When Tough Times Come? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. That's my first scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. God's here. His presence is here. And to me, that's the most beautiful thing, that the presence of God is in this church. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the righteous. If you love those who love you, what reward would you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect. What I want to focus on, it says that he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That means tough times will come. Goes back to my message this morning, is who's on your side when tough times come? When tough times come, you will find out who your real friends are. You will find that out. You'll find out family is going to be there when tough times do come. Proverbs 27:17. The Word of God reads, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens one another. We need each other. You come to church, I picture church like a hospital. People are hurting. People need to hear a message of hope. It's not a place to bring each other down. It's a place that we need to encourage each other. And praise God that God has placed in his heart that we need to sow into our church. It's great and dandy for what we're doing, go out outside these four walls, but sometimes we need time for each other. We need to encourage each other. We're a family. We're the body of Christ. When one hurts, the Bible says we all hurt. When somebody's going through another, pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Don't just say, I'll be praying for you, and you forget. Pray for them. Be there for each other. Iron sharpens iron. We need to encourage each other. Mark chapter 2. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. God reads. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there were no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing in to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat and the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." What I want to focus on this morning is these four men that carried this man that was paralyzed. When we're going through tough times, when we're going through something, who's praying for you? Who are the people that you trust? And just that word trust, it carries a lot of weight. To me, when someone says, "I'm praying for you," that means a lot to me. My uncle's mother, she went on to be with the Lord 2 years ago. Every time I would go visit, she's like, "Mijo, I'm praying for you." And I know it was genuine. I know she was praying for me. And I know a lot of people have prayed for me to get to this point in my life. That's why I'm I'm a strong believer in prayer, because I should not be here today. I know people in their quiet times were praying for me. But again, when you're going through something tough, through something that, you know what, you're just holding on to God, the reality, we need people around us. We're not in this alone. When you feel that you're alone, that's the enemy lying to you, saying, "You're alone. Nobody cares about you." The enemy wants you to think that you're a lone ranger, that you're by yourself. And that's when the enemy's going to torment you even more. When you start giving into his lies, yeah, nobody knows what I'm going through. You're stuck by yourself. You're not. We're a family. You do have people praying for you. The reality, the Bible says that Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's praying for you. Amen. People that have gone before us, our lost loved ones, they're praying for you. And I love this quote, that we're all standing on the shoulders of great people that have gone before us. People have paved the way for us. People have given us an opportunity. People have given me an opportunity. To me, this is the best thing. It's a privilege and an honor to preach the Word of God. I never take this lightly, because I realize the accountability that's placed upon my shoulders, upon Pastor Elias' shoulders, the leadership team. We have a huge responsibility on our shoulders. Anything that I do for God, even with the school, with FCA, I know there's accountability there for me. That one day when I get to heaven, I want to be accountable. What did I do with that? And one day you'll be accountable to your family. Fathers out there, you're going to be accountable to Heavenly Father. How did you raise your family? Did you lead them in the ways of the Lord? Wives, were you there to support your husband to keep doing what he was doing? We, each one of us, no matter what season, we all have an accountability to be accountable to our Heavenly Father. Children, you're accountable to your parents. The Bible says that one of the greatest commandments is to respect your parents, honor your parents, and the Lord will bless you with a long life. That's one of the commandments, young people. But you might say to yourself, "But you don't know what I've been through. You don't know my dad's never been there for me. He would treat me like that." No. The Bible says to honor them. If anything, pray for them. Because I've seen God do miracles. I recently found my mom after 20 years. Did I judge her for her? And you know what I said? I said, "Mom, I forgive you." And the man that brought me to this world, my dad, when I heard his voice for the first time, I said, "You know what, Father? I forgive you." I didn't throw it in his face over the phone. I said, "Dad, weren't you there for me?" I didn't do that.
Because the Bible says, these were one of his last few words, is, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If this is the man we're following, Jesus Christ, that we can't forgive people, come on, man. Jesus set the perfect example for us. Forgive them, for they not know what they do. My hands are clean, like they say, my hands are already clean. I'm praying for my mom, I'm praying for my dad. Is it hard? God's killing my pride. Because Pastor said this, he heard this at a youth camp. He said, God doesn't want to injure pride, he wants to kill it. And man, it's tough. I'm not going to stand up here behind this pulpit and say it's not easy, because it's not easy. But God, it says, I love this quote in one of my favorite poems. It, help me believe in what I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time. Un día a la vez. Que Dios nos ayude. One day at a time. Again, my point there is that these friends took these paralyzed man to Jesus. He not only received this miracle, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And does it say that that Jesus laid hands on him? He just said the word. The word of God is powerful. And just a praise report, an FCA, a principal had asked the FCA members, and Julio is there, he's the FCA president, and the principal asked us as FCA, if the kids can share one scripture over the intercom. You know, and that's God working right there. In the public school, the kids are doing it. And I told them I'm proud of them. It's been a blessing this year of FCA just taking off. Thank God for support from our principal, and it's just amazing, and God is so good. Again, who's on your side? Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. And the word of God reads. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephaim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of your men to go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner, he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. What I want to focus on is that Aaron and Hur, they lifted the hands of Moses when he was weary and tired. Again, who's on your side when tough times come? Aaron and Hur said, forget it, man. I'm not going to lift your hands. I got my own battles, man. I got my own battles I'm facing. No. They were obedient. They lifted his hands. It's like us too, whatever you're going through. And it's us. Say, we're praying for you. Mean it. If anything, you know what? Pray for them there. And I just thank God for the security at my school where I work. He's asked me to pray, and I pray for him, and vice versa. He prays for me too. We're just beyond a shame. You know, who cares what people think? Pray for each other. Who's on your side when tough times come? Aaron and Hur were there for Moses.
He lifted his hands when he was growing weary and tired. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm sure you've heard this story a few times, from time to time again. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the Word of God reads, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" I want you to remember that. "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." He was asleep. "Disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples," which are his followers, "'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Again, who is on your side when tough times come? Is Jesus in the boat with you when tough times? When everything else around you says, "There's no way I'm going to get to the other side," like in the story. "I can't see the victory. How am I going to get to here? How am I going to get through this month?" Again, is Jesus in the boat with you? I'd rather have Jesus in my life than not have anybody around me. Point is that never lose hope. Never lose hope. The old saying, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. You will come out on the other side. Because God has promised that we will come out. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against it. If the Spirit man inside you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, he's going to get you through. And people around you will be amazed. How did you get through? And that's where God's going to open a door for you to minister hope to that person. And Jesus had told them that they were going to get to the other side. That's a faith statement. Don't you think Jesus knew something was going to happen? God's never caught off guard. God knows exactly where we're at today. God knows exactly. The Bible says this, that he even knows the numbers of hair on our head. He goes to that extent to show us how much he loves us. Because he created you. He created you for greatness. James chapter 5, verse 13. You will get to the other side. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up if they have sinned. They will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it will not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if any of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins." Amen. Again, we're a family. The Bible says that when one hurts, we hurt. We need each other. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. The word of God reads, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Praise God for that. Again, who is on your side when tough times come? I can share with you behind this pulpit that God has been there for me. He's helped me in tough times. He's helped me when I see a victory. He's been there for me. And next week, like Pastor Leah said, you know, my family's going to be here. And I'm so thankful. Because my family was there when I needed the most. They took me in mission. My uncle, my aunt will be here. My cousins, friends that have believed in me. You know, in some personal experience, encounters with God. In prayer, when prayer meeting in church, Bible school. The presence of God was strong. And that night they had to carry me out because I was out under the power of God. And they laid me down in my bunk bed where I was at, and I just speaking in tongues for almost 30 minutes, and my roommates were there. Encounters with God, His presence. A night where I was having a hard time when I started ministry with Royal Rangers ministry. Oh, that was a challenge. Whew. But there was one time I was having a hard time with those kiddos. Like, sit down. Like, ah. Then all of a sudden, one kid got on his knees, and before you know it, all the kids were crying that were in that room. The Spirit of God hit that place. Then one parent was picking up his nephew or son, I don't recall. What happened? God showed up. You know, and that was a special time in God's presence. You know, and it's just different times I can share behind this pulpit how God has been so awesome, so amazing, His presence of encountering it. You know, and having times in prayer. One time I was remembering this as I was going to preach. One night I was just praying there. I was living with one of my best friend at the time. And I was just praying, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God hit me, and I just started laughing. No one was in the room. It's the Holy Spirit. Like I said, I can share experiences I've had with God. It's until you get to that point, you say, you know what, enough of the world. I want God in my life. Because I've tried the world. It offers heartache after heartache. But when you realize that, you know, we need a Savior. We need someone that's going to heal our broken heart. The Bible says that He came to mend the broken heart. Each one of us has a story. Each one of us has purpose in this life. Your family has a purpose. You're not here by coincidence. Because God has called you for something great. He's called something great for your family. God's no respecter of person. If God did it for me, if He did it for Pastor Leah, if He did it for Michelle, if He did it for Joseph, Kathleen, Pastor Green, He'll do it for you. But the hardest thing that people have a hard time, there's a battle. But I'm afraid if I take that step, what's going to come next? But when you take that step of faith, you will say to yourself, wow, God is good. God has a purpose. Word of God says in 1 Peter 5:7, my last scripture this morning, that cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows the troubles that lay in front of you. I'm here to tell you that you will get to the other side, that you will come out. Because His word says, you will get to the other side. You will see God answer prayer. Hang in there. Don't give up. God loves you. He's got a plan for you and your family. Pastor Elias.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Nelda to come at this time. This Saturday, we're going to have an all-day prayer chain. And I want her to share just a little bit of a story, the story they went through this year. But there was a lot of people praying and still praying. A few things happened that kind of God just intervened. And I want Nelda just to share a little bit about that. The reason, you know, we're kind of, you know, the prayer chain on Saturday is important if you can participate. Because things really do happen when people come together in unity and pray. We just know that there's power in prayer. And there was a lot of people praying as Nelda had and her family had to go through a hard time the last few months. But just share a little bit about that, Nelda.
Yeah, try not to cry. we went to camp, and it was amazing. I saw my kids, you know, getting closer to God. I saw how Bianca and Mark were impacted. Right after that, we came back, and Bianca kept telling me she kept seeing blurry, you know, and I would just like, I thought, because she uses glasses, so I said, you know, it's her vision getting worse, she probably needs a new prescription. And you want to come up here? We were sitting down, and we were having lunch, and she comes out, and she says, Mom, I can't see. I said, what do you mean you can't see? And it's like I freaked out, right? Because I'm like, what do you mean you can't see? And she says, Mom, I'm seeing black. And I said, what do you mean, right? So she says, she goes, no, Mom, you know, it's like when you're laying down in bed and the lights are off, all you see is black. That's what I'm seeing. I said, from both eyes, Bianca? And she says, no. She says, I'm seeing from my left eye, I can't see. And I said, okay. So this here is all her diagnosis. We were diagnosed with, first of all, they told us she was bleeding from her brain. And that got ruled out. She spent 3 days in a hospital. Endless tests. They checked her heart, they checked her lungs, they checked her brain, they checked everything. Well, there was nothing wrong with her. So then they told us, okay, she has migraines. You know, it was a migraine. And that she would eventually get her eyesight back. Well, that didn't happen. I reached out to Pastor and I told Sister Green, and Sister Green knows all my life. It's like I call her for everything. It's like anything. It's like I tell her good or bad, but I call her. And Eloy's living with us, basically. So it's like he's my other kid. So it's like I told him, I want somebody to explain this to me because I don't understand. So then we were sent with a specialist, an eye specialist, and she says it looks like Coats disease. Okay, Coats disease is usually found in boys, young boys, and it has to develop a long time. It just doesn't develop overnight. Well, Bianca had really lost her eyesight; she couldn't see anything. And so then she says, I'm sending you to Texas Children's Hospital. So I thought, okay, it's your school hospital, you know, we'll be there. Mind you, my husband had been out of work, and we didn't have a vehicle, so we were like, and the lady says, no, you're going to hospital to Houston, you have to be there tomorrow. This was Thursday or Friday. So I called my family. My family gave us, you know, all my family, you know, they raised $300, and they're like, here, take it. So we get to Houston. Thank God we have family up there. We have Raymond's sister up there. And we were there. And so we didn't have to, you know, have a hotel, but it was 45 minutes away anyway, so it was gas consuming. It was just a trip over there, and then 45 minutes every day, because we were at the hospital every day. And as soon as you get there, you know, you have to park here. It's valet parking every day. They don't have free parking, so that's $13 every day. Okay, plus meals. So we were like, how are we going to do it? So we were there 2 weeks. And then they started automatically, Bianca, we had to go through the emergency, and she had two doctors on her right away. You know, they did every single test imaginable. They even brought infectious disease, the unit, they brought that along because they didn't understand, you know, why she had lost her eyesight, you know, like that. So then, long story short, you know, they come back with, well, we're still going to have to be treating her. They still didn't give us a diagnosis because they didn't even know themselves. And they finally came back and they said, well, it looks like she's got a parasite. So she had a parasite that ran from the tip right here all the way around, but it was behind the retina. So it was something that they couldn't operate. And then they come back and says, well, you know, we're gonna give her a bendazole. We're gonna start her on steroids, and we're gonna start, and it's like, okay, you know, we have Medicaid. So Driscoll didn't wanna pay because it was out of network. The doctors were all out of network. Medicaid was not gonna cover the doctors. They said because, you know, they were not in network, so they said, we can't do it. Okay, so then the medicine that they prescribed to Bianca, this was our first, where we can't, I can't even explain, because every pill was $1,000. And she needed 120 pills to start the series. Plus the steroid. The steroid was going to be almost $700. So we're like, okay, you know. So we start praying, and I looked at Raymond, and I said, I just don't know how we're going to do this. And Raymond says, you know, have faith, Nilda. You know, and Bianca, through it all, she's just like, what's wrong with you, Mom? Like, you're gonna be okay. It's like, you're crying for what? You know, God's always taking care of me. This is Bianca telling me. So I'm like, okay. And I remember texting Michelle, texting Sister Green, texting Pastor, texting Eloy. I'm like, this is crazy. You know, I mean, to get treated like this for, you know, where are we gonna come up with this money? You know, I was panicking. Telling me, really, Mom? Like, you know, control yourself, like, get a grip. So the doctor from infectious disease was on the phone, and she fought and fought and fought for 2 days. And we go in the next day, and she says, we got our medicine. We got her medicine. And when we went to go to the pharmacy there in the hospital, you know, we have to go through, and you see babies, you see children with every disease. You see from cancer to missing legs to missing everything in that hospital. And here I am going, you know, my daughter's blind. And I couldn't see it until Sister Green pointed out to me. She said, thank goodness that it was just one eye. She can still see. And here I am, you know, feeling like, going towards, but you see all these children, you're like, really wake up and see what God is really doing with your family. And it went from $120,000 that per pills, they brought it down to $18,000. And the doctor says, don't worry about it, it's taken care of. All the medications were taken care of. So that just showed me, you know, if you stand right with God and you look at everything, they know my past. And I think everybody does. But I've been very rocky. You know, my faith has been rocky. But since July of last year, it's like God has opened my eyes. And that's why I tell everybody, and I share it. And Rochelle once said, she says, she told me because something happened between, something you said, and Michelle says, you know, last year, you wouldn't have been as calm as you are right now. But it's because God has worked in me. And I tell everybody, you know, now, that if he could do that for me, if he could do that for my family, what can be to forgive? So when you're sitting there and you're having a pity party because everybody has, just remember, God is working in you. And I thank everybody, everybody. Bianca still hasn't regained part of her eyesight. But I don't know, right here is Dr. Shaw. That's when she's happy right there because she had at least 30-40% of her eyesight coming back. And it's a work in progress, and I have faith that God's gonna heal her, but in his timing. So I just tell everybody, you know, just keep praying, be patient, because it will happen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now I hear that Bianca's playing keyboard now. There's rumors going around. At youth night, so we're excited about that. So yeah, she's picking it up really good. And Casey and her are working on a Spanish song so they can go play at the Bible study. So the things are going on. That's exciting. So Brother Casiano, they'll be heading that way one of these Wednesday nights to go do a Spanish song for you over there. So that'd be great. Maybe they'll sing it for us here to practice one day. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Praise the Lord. Well, don't forget to sign up and for our prayer chain. God moves. It was just a beautiful testimony how God intervened and how Nelda's just real, as they say, real life experience with God intervening in her life and her family. And also, don't forget the private rooms to reserve those. Those are the two main things today, and we're going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word from Eloy, Lord. I thank you for this word that, Lord, you're with us, Lord. You will get us to the other side. You are with us. And, Lord, I just thank you that we are going to sow in 2019. We're going to continue to sow righteousness, sow biblical principles, and know that you are going to bless the sower in a way that the sower can never even imagine, Lord, because you're a good God. And your word is clear that we will reap what we sow. And so, Lord, just seal this lesson in our hearts to trust you no matter what. And also, as we pray on Saturday all day, as we get ready to just take ground for your kingdom as we did last year, Lord, and continue to do that through just sowing and reaping and growing. Just be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.